Welcome to Inklings. I am Emily Bell Freeman, and I'm so excited to welcome you to a space where you and I get to experience a hint of something more together. This is a community where we lean into discussions that will help us obtain a bedrock understanding of the doctrines of Christ, not overnight, but every day better. Strength gathered over time. There is a place for you here. Looking forward to spending this semester with you as we embark on a journey focused on becoming His. Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday. Welcome to Inklings. I'm so happy to be here right now, particularly because I had one of those dreams last night, which I know you've all had the same dream, that I slept through Inklings and forgot who our guests were. And then I had to bring on just people who didn't even know anything about what we were talking about. And it was a big disaster. So I was so happy when I woke up this morning and we had not had Inklings yet. Our friends for today. And okay, let's see if that worked. Oh, hi, Katie.
Hey.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Doing so good. And there's Carlin. Hi, Carlin.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You guys, like, dressed for Thanksgiving, and I dressed for spring. So what does that say about our personalities?
It's like we coordinated.
Okay. I'm in, like, denial right now, which you love because meanwhile I'm decorating for Christmas at the same time.
Yeah.
But people who are so worried about me decorating for Christmas, let me tell you that the whole time I decorate for Christmas, I listen to my Thanksgiving playlist in case that makes everybody feel happier. And I'm actually so excited for the topic that we are studying today. And I feel like we need 5 hours because it's such a good one. So we are just going to dive in. Except for, let's just reintroduce you, even though you've both been here before, just quickly for anyone who might be new. You guys, I'll try to remember to put my Thanksgiving playlist in the stories. And then what happens is it's in Spotify and you should just be able to click on it. And then if you heart it with a heart, you can just get it whenever you want. I think that's how it works. Okay. So Katie, you go first and then Carlin, you go second and let's just, a quick reintroduction.
Yeah. I'm Katie Hughes and, just love Inklings so much. I work with Emily in a couple different areas and this is probably one of my favorite parts of working with Emily is just being a part of this little community. I just feel so loved, every time I enter into conversations or listen to the videos. And just a mom and business owner. And one thing we love doing, Emily, is multiply goodness. So that's kind of my heart work. So that's kind of what I do right now.
So fun. And then Carlin.
So I'm Carlin and I
Katie, are you having a hard time hearing Carlin? Okay.
Yeah.
Carlin, something's not right with your internet where you are right now.
Oh, shoot. Can you hear me?
Kind of, but the circle keeps coming. So it might be a bad connection just there where you are. But try again.
Can you hear me now or no?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I'm Carlin. I run Just Ingredients on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, things like that. But it's an account where I just talk about our physical health and living a fulfilled life by doing those things that nourish our body. So I never really get to talk about spiritual stuff. So I love Inklings because Just Ingredients, I believe, is something that the Lord wanted me to do. He inspired me to do it, and I've seen His hand throughout the entire process. And I don't get to share about that very much. So I love that I get to come on Inklings and share about my love for the Savior.
Oh, that makes me so happy. And you're making me think about this, you guys, that I want to just quickly talk about. A lot of people have asked where are the guests come from that come on Inklings, and why do I choose the guests that I choose? And I'm actually super prayerful about Inklings. I tell people all the time, I don't actually feel like Inklings is mine. I feel like I shepherd it, but I don't feel like it's my community. And I feel like God is doing a great work here for all of us who come. And so I'm always really careful if I'm going to make changes or if I'm going to enter into something to be prayerful about that. And one of the thoughts that came to me several years ago was for the 20-year-olds, particularly my daughter's ages, of girls who were on Instagram all day long trying to find influencers who were becoming their mentors. These were the women who were telling them how to dress and what to do on the weekends and where to vacation and how to decorate their homes and how to teach their children. And that used to happen like within your neighborhood community. And now it happens on this big, this bigger community level. And one of the things I felt really prompted was to gather women who are on Instagram that are living their religion loudly, that know who they are and whose they are not afraid to talk about God. And it's been a good mix of people who actually do have Instagram accounts, which has been really good for God to be able to get out his message in a way that I would not have been able to get this message out. And so I love that you've all been super patient for letting God kind of do his work of getting out this message and trying to reach that 20-year-old group. This time when we did Inklings, someone said to me, why are you not on TikTok? And in fact, Carolyn had a huge opinion about that. What will you just give a 45-second tell us about TikTok? If you can, and you're circling again. So see if you can grab into the internet again.
Can you see me?
No, you might have to walk to a different part of your house. I'll be starting to tell you while Carlin's moving. So she was just saying, if you're on TikTok, which I do not spend a lot of time on TikTok, there's mostly people want to talk about not church things. And in fact, it's not a place where anybody's talking about Jesus or the church regularly, even if you try and search it. And so Susan had said, Susan Peterson, I think you need to invite some TikTok girls. And I was like, I can't invite TikTok girls. I don't even know anything about TikTok. And she called me again and she was like, I really feel like you need to invite some TikTok girls. And so the more she said it, I was like, okay, I will invite some TikTok girls over, but I have no idea what we're going to do with them. And they're young girls and they are just vivacious. They have so much energy. They were over here last night talking and they talked about what Carlin said, how needed this is on TikTok. Okay, try again, Carlin, see if you can.
Can you hear me?
Yes. We hear you.
Well, I think you just explained it great. That's okay. Exactly. I have a 23, 21, and 19-year-old and 16-year-old, and they're on TikTok all the time, and they just hear so many loud voices out there as to why to leave the church or why the church isn't great for them. And so that's why I'm like, we need to go against the opposition and tell all the reasons why the church is amazing and great. And while God it can be their strength, just like this message today is about. So
yes,
that's where the younger population is settling. So we need to teach
where the rising, it's where the rising generation is. And as I talked to these girls last night, I said to them, I am like 95 years old regarding TikTok. I don't even have an account that I use and I don't even know how to use it. And the girls all said the same thing. They were like, the people our age need Inklings. We need it. So you have to put it in a place where we can actually find it. So let me say this first. If you are my age and older, you're not going to need to go to TikTok. You're going to get everything you need right here on Instagram or on the app or wherever it is you are watching. You're going to stay here and things are going to stay exactly the same. But any of you who have young girls, even teenagers, or happen to be working in the young women's in your ward, what these TikTok girls came up with last night, who loves it? That's their name, the TikTok girls. They came up with an idea that there is going to be a TikTok challenge every week that they used a word that's called trending, everybody. You try to trend for a week. Who even knows what that means? But they are going to give a challenge that the younger generation could actually lean into that will be tied to every general conference talk we are studying for the next 6 months. So the challenge next week that they are pulling together is going to have the hashtag More Jesus. And I'm just letting this group do what they know how to do. Last night they talked me into making one video. I said, I will come on TikTok once. This is your one chance that I'm going to show up. But they are going to be helping to just get this message out over there. So don't panic. If you don't want to do TikTok, you actually don't have to. But if you have young girls that you are worried about that you wish could be a part of this, there's going to be sprinklings going on over on TikTok, and we've got this handful of just enthusiastic girls who love Jesus and love the church and want to add their voices, and they're going to be working with us to do that. So that's really, really fun. If you know anything about TikTok, it's inklings.institute on TikTok is how you'll find it. But it might be more interesting for your younger people, and that will be fun. The boys might like it too. They might as well go on and see, because the girls who are running it are hysterical and super fun. So it's inklings.institute, and they're going to start pushing next week, which I think is going to be really, really fun. So that's a really good segue actually into our topic, because I'm going to start in Timothy, everybody. We're going to be in 1 Timothy 4. And then we're going to be in Elder Uchtdorf's talk for the rest of the time. And I love how 1 Timothy 4 starts. It says, the Spirit is telling me expressly. I love when he's like this, like, I'm not getting this wrong. That's how he starts out. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. And I love that he's just like, everybody, this is important. And the Spirit is expressly telling me that this is true. This is going to happen. That some are going to leave the faith during this time. And it's going to be because they're heeding deceiving spirits and false doctrine. And there will be people who are talking in hypocritical ways. And it's going to start searing consciences. And so that's what's going to happen. And he goes through and he just sets up, this is what the last days will look like. And I love that when I read that, I think to myself, I actually see that happening around me, and it gives me anxiety. And so to hear Paul saying, listen, whenever he was writing the letter to Timothy, the Spirit is expressly telling me that I need to tell you this in the last days. Some people are going to leave the faith, and this is why they're going to leave. And chapter 4, he leans into the youth. He says to Timothy, who is young, you can imagine Timothy as the TikTok girls, everybody. That is totally what you can imagine right now. And he says to him in verse 12, do not let anyone despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word and in conversation and in charity and in spirit and in faith, in purity. Until I come again, you have got to read and exhort and encourage the doctrine. That's what you've got to be talking about. And then I love in verse 14 when he says, neglect not the gift that is in you. And I loved studying that word gift. in a concordance from this verse because it talked about this endowment that had been given, a spiritual endowment. And that thought about don't neglect the gift that is in you, that you've been given that spiritual gift, and meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, he says, because then your profiting, your growth, your increase is going to be, everyone's going to see it. It's going to appear to all. Everybody will see that you are growing. And so take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine and continue in them. And in doing this, I love when he says this, you will save yourself, but you will also save everybody who hears you. And I love that call. I love that that is where we're starting this week, is with that call of like, what does it actually look like to live this? And how do we live it? And how do we help our kids live it? And if part of helping our kids live it means learning how to connect in their places, then that's where we go. We were in 1 Timothy 4. I want to dive into the talk now, and we can do two things. I'm going to actually give you some ideas for your Strength of Youth pamphlet at the end. So if you want to be thinking about this, we can, Carlin and Katie. But also I want to like dive into Elder Uchtdorf's talk. And one of the things that I want to think about as we get started, and then I'm going to let you guys just take over. But I was really interested at the very beginning of the talk. And I tried to describe what I was doing, but it's going to be easier if I just say it to you out loud. And this is something you'll be able to do after that we're done. There's a part of that talk that starts out the Savior's message to you. And when I read it, I was like, this feels really important to me as I'm reading it. And so I went back and read it several times. Like, I'm actually the type of person that would love the Savior to give a message to me right now. I don't know if anyone else is, but I really love the idea of just thinking Jesus might be like, hey, this is what you need right now. And I would be so happy for that. And so I love the thought of Elder Uchtdorf just saying, you know what, if Jesus had a message for you, this is what it would be. And I read it, and it's a lot of words. And every time I read it, I got caught up in the lot of words. And so I took a marker and I just wrote on top of every paragraph, what is the theme of this paragraph? That's all I want to know. If he was going to tell me a basic truth out of every paragraph, what would it be? And I love that it was so simple. He tells us, you are beloved. That's the first thing he tells us. Second, he says, you are going to make mistakes. Then the third thing he says is, you can turn again to Christ. That's just is a reality. It's true. And that your covenant will yoke you to him. That's how you will stay yoked to him. And then I love when he's like, your purpose is progression. That's what you're trying to do every day. Just be a little bit better every day. That's your purpose. And how you're going to accomplish that is with Jesus. So then I went through and read those five things over and over again. You are beloved. You will make mistakes. You can turn again to Christ. Your covenant will keep you connected to him. Your job every day is just to progress. If you don't feel like you can do it on your own, Jesus will help you. And the more I said it to myself, it was like really empowering for me. And then I was like, I wish I would have said that to my kids every day when they left the house. Okay, here's what I need you to remember. You are beloved. You're going to make mistakes today. You can turn again to Jesus anytime that you want to, all during the day. Your covenant will keep you connected to him. So what's your covenant? You were reminded every time you take the sacrament. That will keep you connected to him. Your job today is just to be a little bit better than you were yesterday, whatever that looks like. And if that feels overwhelming to you, Jesus will help you. That's it. Don't you just want to say that to your kids every time they walk out of the door every morning? It just makes the plan feel easier. So I love entering into this conversation with that in mind, that that's what we need to know before we even lean into, okay, what does he teach us about the strength of youth? So now I've talked for so long, but that's everything I was passionate about this talk. I want to hear for you guys, what did you love from Elder Uchtdorf's talk? But then also, what has been the conversation in your home?
Carlin, do you want to go ahead?
Sure. So like you, Emily, well, I'm hoping you guys can now hear me.
I can hear you.
It's okay. Like you, Emily, I was like, so many people were like, did you hear Uchtdorf's talk about For the Strength of Youth pamphlet? And I want to be like, well, that was only this little bit of the talk. The whole first part of the talk is a message to the youth and really a message to all of us, and a message of how to become a disciple to make the right choices in the Strength of Youth pamphlet. And so I just love the things you talked about, Emily, but I really loved two parts. One, the fear not, doubt not, be of good cheer, let not your heart be troubled. I almost felt like it also was to the parents. Like, I worry about my all the time. I worry about my teenagers, only because we have so many around us that have left the church. And so I'm constantly like, am I teaching enough? Have I given them enough experiences? Have we done our part as parents? And so I just thought, that actually is applying to me too. You know, doubt not, fear not, just be of good cheer. So I loved that. But the part that I really did love in those first sections that you're talking about, Emily, is that he pointed out the covenants with him. Because as a youth, I don't think I was really taught about covenants as much. And I love that he says the covenants give you a special connection with him. And that is so true. We go to the temple for an increase of the spirit. And I think to survive spiritually in these days, the kids have to have that increase of the spirit to help them, whether it be with strength for the day or patience or guidance, direction, personal revelation. They need that increase of the spirit. Okay, now the sun's coming. So I love that he talks about covenants, because I really think that's something the youth need to understand. And also that with the covenants, he says, that can help you carry any burden. These youth are going through hard times. We're all going through hard times, but the challenges out there are hard. So I love the aspect about covenants. And then the second part I loved was the part about strength, because we can do anything with God's help. And I love that he says your potential is limitless. There's no limits to what you can accomplish. And if we can teach that to youth at a young age, imagine what they can accomplish. They can accomplish their missions as to why they're sent here on this earth. But it's something they need to learn and understand, the strength, and that it's limitless. Yeah. But it's strength given through the covenants of an increase of the spirit and being yoked to the Savior. And so those parts I loved. It's what I'm trying to now teach hopefully they know that, but reiterate and encourage over and over to my kids.
That's so good.
Love that. I'm one of those that when this second Elder Uchtdorf said, Jesus is the strength of youth, it hit me right here, just like so deeply, because I knew that was a doctrinal truth. That is how I will get strength. That is how I will proceed as a parent. And that is what I need to teach my children. And I thought, this is the answer. And Jesus, as we know, is always the answer. Just what Courtney said in her post this week on Inklings, but it's really true. And I remember feeling like, okay, we complicate it at times. We start to feel like, oh, I've got to do all these things, but really it can be as simple as teaching that truth. And I remember a time, like I would say 3 or 4 years ago, I just had this like epiphany that I needed to express love deeper in my home. I needed to make sure that my children knew deep love. And I love how he talks about this. He how he would start by expressing his deep love for you. And I'm wondering how often we express deep love for our kids. And I recognize a time each week, hopefully every day I'm doing this, but definitely during Come Follow Me, I'm expressing deep love to my kids so that they know that these are coming from my heart. This is my deep-hearted feeling for them, you know? And I think that is something that's so important, especially as we're working to practice Jesus. This is really all that we're doing. We're practicing Jesus. Our kids are practicing Jesus. And like you said, we're going to make mistakes. There's going to be the challenges. And there's such grace in that. There's such grace we give space for the practicing. And I love that part where you said, Emily, you're going to make mistakes. And it's the same thing. And I'm going to bring a little bit more in about the social media, because there was a time where I was like, I don't even want to be a part of it. I don't want my kids to be a part of it. And yet now I feel very much like, no, it is my place to be, because they need it. It's not going away. This is where our kids are.
Yes.
And try all we want. But when they get out into the world, they are going to do whatever they want. And so how awesome would it be under our roof to be able to show them the way and show them the way of truth. And they might even make mistakes when it comes to the social media thing, but it's our job to be able to help them navigate this and help them,
love that,
you know, learn this. And it's okay that you're promoting TikTok on Inklings. It's okay because this is where they are, and we're practicing and we're teaching as we go, you know, how to do this. And I loved so much this part about, it is in the next paragraph in Truth and Choices, but I was thinking about, it says, where do we find truth is what he asked. Where do we find truth? And he says, it is contained in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the fullness of this gospel. And we know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, but they have to learn that. Where do we learn this? Where do we teach them? In Come Follow Me, in our daily conversations, in our examples, in all the ways we're working to love our children as we're practicing Jesus. And the thought came to me immediately, that verse, which is a favorite in the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi 25:26. You guys know it, but think about it in terms of this. And we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, we preach of Christ, we prophesy of Christ, and we write according to our prophecies. And maybe we write them in our Instagram and TikTok posts.
Yes.
Our children may know to what source they may look for a remission of their sins. And it is Jesus. It's Jesus that we look to, and we teach them of Jesus. We teach them the doctrine of Jesus. He's the answer. He's the strength.
Yeah, I love that. And I want to just talk about, like, what has it looked like embracing this in your homes? I know a lot of people for their fifth Sunday studied this. I'm going to tell you just one thing that I did. I don't have any kids at home, so I just did it my own self. But something that was really helpful for me is I kind of leaned into this strength of youth. And I think it's interesting because I feel like what this is meant to do, and I love that someone wrote in here when their bishop had said in their fifth Sunday, whoever you were, I was just reading your comment, that he put the two guides next to each other and said, this feels like a higher law of the first guide, which makes you think about the Sermon on the Mount, right? It's just that raising people up. And the reason why the higher law was given in the Sermon on the Mount was because Jesus was trying to make disciples. That's why he gathered those people, and they came up that hill to listen to him talk. And they left the world behind to come up and to listen to the message he was giving. And I feel like the same is true. I feel like this is a higher ask in some ways, and that it is really making disciples of these kids who will learn how to live it. It's not a list of to-dos as much as it is a way of, like, living and engaging with the Spirit and with Christ. And I love the thought of that. I went through in mine, I love this part too. I love how the book works, where it's first going to give you an eternal truth, and then it's going to give you an invitation, And then it's going to give you promised blessings. And that really is the way we engage with the Lord, where he's going to give us a truth. It happens in scripture all the time. Then he's going to give us an invitation to live that truth. And he always tells us, this is what you can expect from choosing that course. And I love the thought of that. In mine, I went through and tried to think about the things I wanted to know more about from this pamphlet. And so you might be surprised by the one at the end, but I will explain that as we go. I'm going to show these to you, and I think it might be backwards. But I just got all different color markers. And I went through and I labeled everything that had to do with Jesus Christ in yellow, everything that had to do with grace in pink, everything that had to do with covenants was in light blue. Anything that had to do with an increase of the Spirit was in purple. Anything that was a standard, a clear standard that was set forth in this book, I marked in orange. And anything that helped me understand the purpose of that standard or that invitation or this guide in general, I put in red so that I could kind of see. I have a group that I work with of boys who are gay. And so the other thing I wanted to do was, if you were reading this from a different perspective than my story or my perspective, what would maybe stand out for me there? And so you might have a child that you would write down. One of your marker notes might be, I want to look at this from their perspective and mark those things so that I am making sure I'm reading it with a broader lens. There could be anything that you would write there. That just happens to be the lens that I was looking at. But that ended up being a really learning experience for me to go through and see what are the clear standards that are spelled out here and what is the purpose. And the purpose happens over and over again. And what am I learning about Jesus? What am I learning about grace? What am I learning about the Spirit? And it's almost every page will have several different colors and several different things that I was learning as I went through what stood out to me. And it was helpful for me just to understand in different ways what I was learning as I went through and letting the Spirit tutor me in things that would be important. So that might be, I'll put the color code, I'll put this also in the stories today so you can see mine, but you might choose different words or according to what your family needs. You'll be inspired what you should do. That's one of the things that I love. People, when I was raising my kids all the time, would say, What did you do? What is your parenting advice? They would ask me that all the time. And my parenting advice was, the Spirit knows my kids better than I do. And every rule we ever had in our home was dictated by the Spirit in our home, according to what that child needed. And so I love the thought of you looking at it and thinking, what do my kids need from this book? And what does the Spirit dictate that I should write down? What are my five things that I would want to study? And if you want to use mine, great, but also the Spirit is a really good tutor. So you might come up with other things. Carlin, you're circling again. So try and grab your internet back. But Katie, how were you, what are some things that you've done to try and start conversations about this?
Yeah. I mean, I had an experience straight out of the gate, just the week after, and I posted about this, but, Millie was with me. She's my 14-year-old daughter, and we'd had enough of a discussion. I wouldn't say enough to like really dive in, but enough to know that there's been a little bit of a shift of a higher and holier way. And what does this look like now? And I was kind of overjoyed, especially as I read the For the Strength of Youth. It just resonated. And I felt like it was so needed. And we ran into Michelle Craig at the airport. And I got right to it. And we were sitting at the same table. And I'd had enough experience with Michelle that I felt like I could, you know, talk candidly with her. And I just said, let's talk about For the Strength of Youth. And it was so cute. She didn't miss a beat. And she looked right at Millie and said, Millie, what do you think about For the Strength of Youth? And I watched my daughter communicate with Michelle as to her feelings as she was grasping what this meant for her. She said very simply, I'm so excited to be able to pray about things and know for myself what I need to do. And I think Michelle was just grateful for that answer. It happened to be the right answer in that moment. But that's the thing. I think these conversations that we have with our kids, it may be sitting down and talking through it and thinking through it, but I think it's just our everyday conversations of this higher and holier way. And I don't know that you necessarily, you kind of alluded to this, but I love this. It's footnote 16, and mm-hmm. some people have said this. Look at the footnotes of Elder Uchtdorf's talk. There is a treasure trove of amazing doctrine in there. And it's footnote 16, and it says, this principle-based approach of the new For the Strength of Youth guide is consistent with other recent initiatives introduced by the Savior's Church. So preaching the gospel, right? Ministering looks differently now. Home-centered, come home, come follow me. The Children and Youth Program, Teaching in the Savior's Way, and the New General Handbook. Clearly, the Lord is building our spiritual capacity. He is demonstrating increased trust in his covenant people in the latter days. And I feel like as a parent, I also need to show increased trust.
Mm-hmm.
I trust my children and tell them often and teach them of Jesus and of how to repent. And they'll make mistakes and all that. So I feel like I have a wide range of children too. They range from 22 down to 10. And it feels like it will look a lot different in conversations with each one. But the ones that are at home that I'm really able to communicate with and teach often, I feel it looks like me telling them often that I trust them.
Mm.
Trust them and that, you know, Jesus trusts them for this higher and holier way. And that whole concept of, as we teach them of Jesus, this will help them want to follow him. It will help them want to walk a covenant path. And that feels like a really beautiful thing to implement in my home.
Mm, I love that so much. And that last line, he is demonstrating increased trust in his covenant people in the latter days. I just love that, like, call to rise up. That's what it makes me think. And Carlin, for you, what have the conversations been like? Because you've also got kids all ages.
I do. But what we have talked about is this, that before Christ came, they lived the law of Moses, right? And it was very letter of the law, like you can only take this many steps and you can only do this on the Sabbath. And for a long time, our church has had a lot of distinct rules like that. But back then, when Christ came, he invited the higher law, right? The higher law was to love everybody, to love him. And because of that love, you wanted to do what's right. You wanted to serve others, help others. You wanted to follow his ways. And so I feel like we're experiencing that same thing, that it's now like, he's coming soon. We need to learn the higher law. These kids need to learn the higher law. We need to. We will want to serve others and do it right and follow his ways. And so we've been talking a lot about that this book now is the call to the higher law, just like when he first came. He's coming again. This is how we need to live. It's his way of living. It's a life of love. And I love, though, that Elder Uchtdorf, the very, very first thing that he tells the kids of what the Savior would want to know is that he loves them. That's the very first thing that he showed when he came on this earth, that he loved everybody, no matter where they were. And when he said that, I just had chills. I was like, that is what this generation needs to know,
yeah.
That he loves them. And because they know he loves them, they want to love him back and do what's right. But I think I have also a little bit of a different perspective on this, in that I'll tell it's really I get to go teach to a lot of single adult boards about depression, just because that's the my area of focus on Instagram. And afterwards, I'm not kidding you, the lineup of kids that come and talk to me about their battles of depression, they always have some form of, I don't feel loved. I don't feel like I'm accepted. I don't feel like I'm understood. I don't feel that God loves me, parents, friends, I'm alone. And if we can just teach them that God does love them no matter what, it can be such a huge help in all aspects of their life. So I love that he's teaching us to live with love with this new pamphlet. And he's also, very first thing Elder Uchtdorf tells us is, you're loved.
Mm, that's so good. And I love, as you're talking about both of these things, I had an interesting experience right after Grace got home from her mission. And she was telling me about her mission president. And one of the things she loved about him is that he taught high love, high expectations. And I don't know if you've ever heard those phrases before, but she drew a little map for me. And she was like, this is important to learn how to balance, because if you have high love and low expectation, you're a frat house. If you have high expectation, low love, you're a prison. And so it's trying to figure both out. And as I was listening to her talk about it, I was like, okay, I love the analogy of that, but I feel like something is missing when I was thinking about it, but I couldn't put my finger on what was the thing that was missing. And I started researching in the scriptures, where do we see someone teach high love, high expectation in the scriptures? And I eventually, after a long time, was led to Paul. And then we also read it in Moroni, where he talks about faith, hope, and charity. And I thought, okay, let me see where this matches up. And charity is obviously high love. Like, that was an easy connect for me. And then I was like, hope would be high expectation. That's what hope is. It's expecting something, high expectation. Mm-hmm. So what is faith? And as I thought about it, I thought it's trust. Faith is trust. And what we need to be building in our homes is a high love, high expectation, high trust environment. That's where our kids are going to thrive. And so it is interesting as you talk about, he is demonstrating increased trust in his covenant people in these latter days. And it was interesting, and I've talked about this on here, but at Jubilee, Grace, my daughter, had the opportunity to get up and talk for a little bit with my friend Nish. And Nish had said to Grace, what do you wish our generation knew about your generation? And her immediate answer was that you should trust us. And she said, trust that we want to be faithful. Trust that we want a relationship with God. Trust that, you know, that we will rise up to the what is our world today. And I love that thought of, like, we might be really good at setting expectations in our home that we want our kids to aspire to. And we also might be really good at loving our kids. But trust, why is trust the hard one? Like, it's really hard to be like, do I have high trust? And when Elder Uchtdorf says he is demonstrating increased trust in his covenant people in the latter days, that takes a lot of courage to trust like that, to trust that we could get something like this and rise to the occasion to be able to live up to the expectation. And I do love the thought of that. That footnote number 16 ends up in my mind being one of the most important parts of this conference talk. You're on mute, Katie. I think you muted.
I have to grab this because this is actually Grace wrote this for me, and I literally took it home and was teaching me this principle. And as I watched her teach me in that moment and at Jubilee. She's such a good example right now. And I'll be honest, like, it's teaching me how to trust my kids, like, knowing there's knowledge there. And it might not look it might look different than what we think it needs to look like right now. But I love the thought that as we trust them and as we recognize, like, the things that are going good and learn from them and like soak it in. I feel like we need to listen to them and also respect their agency. There's a part here about agency that I think we absolutely have to honor, especially because we fought for agency. We fought for it in the pre-existence. And here we see so many people choosing different paths, different ways. And yet that agency part feels so important. And it says that at the heart of God's plan for your happiness is the power to choose. And he allows this choice to happen. And I feel like there's trusting in that. And sometimes that's hard. We watch our older kids take, you know, make choices that maybe don't feel at home with us or what we taught, or they might put on something that we never thought they would ever wear.
Yeah. Or
that type of thing. I've taught differently. How could this be? But, you know, I think it does look differently over time for people, but we can also trust God's timing, and we can also trust a plan for these children that are working so hard to navigate the complexities of this world. And I don't know, I feel like there's something about that, about allowing for agency, allowing for choice, and just showing them the best choice always is Jesus, you know?
Yeah, that's so good. Any thoughts on that, Carolyn?
I was just going to say, so I love this idea of trust. And I think it comes down to trusting ourselves that we've taught what we need to do and taught in the home what we need to teach and do what we've done in the home. And then trusting God that sometimes those choices the kids make, we don't like them at the moment, but they're going to be for their benefit a lot of times. And so child make a choice that you just want to pull your hair out and be like, how did you do that? Why did you do that? I've taught you differently, but it's been one of the biggest blessings in his life because it molded him into a different person, taught him the true joy that comes through atonement. It taught him real life experience of atonement so he could then go teach that to others. So sometimes trusting God is hard because he allows those mistakes to happen and those choices to happen. But I think if we keep trusting, it may not be tomorrow or in a month, but years down the road, those bad choices or hard choices, whatever, I think we'll mold them into be better people. And that's where we need to trust, is that the better person will come eventually from it.
Well, and it's that point number two that Elder Uchtdorf said, you will make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like there's almost something empowering about saying, I know you're going to make mistakes. That's part of mortality. That's part of being here. Sometimes the choices you make are not going to be your best choice. And, you know, it's just like a hurdler in a race. You got to figure out the best way to get over that next thing. And sometimes you don't do it the right way. And then you go back and you do it again. It reminds me of a quote we used to have in our basement. My daughter was a basketball player. And there was a moment where one of the girls on her team made a fatal mistake and they almost lost the game because of it. And I happened to be sitting on the second row just by chance. And the coach called a timeout and pulled all the girls over and said to the girls, I don't care about the mistake. I know you're going to make mistakes. What I care about is what you do after the mistake. It's how you recover.
Yeah.
And when he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, that it was like powerful in the game, but it's so powerful in life. It made me want to say to my kids, I know you're going to make mistakes. I already know you are. That like you don't need to hide those from us or from this home or from life. We all make mistakes. I loved when Elder Uchtdorf was like, you're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
But the question is, how do you recover from that? mistake? And what is the process to reconciliation look like for you and turning again to Christ? And sometimes that happens that day where you're like, oh, I did this wrong. I can apologize for it right now and I can fix this. And sometimes that fix is going to take 6 months or a year, or, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time reconciling the hurt and the, you know, whatever is going on in you. And I love that God's like, I'm okay with that. You know, do you walk the journey and I will be here. And I will come after you, and I will come after you over and over and over again. I just love the thought of that.
Yeah. And, you know, witnessing that, I think as we read the stories of Jesus, as we watch him go after the one, what a witness for us, like what we have to keep doing. It may never look like what we think and want it to look like in this life. And I have a sister. I often talk about her, but I have watched, was born addicted to drugs. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, not in this life. There's just no way. She just has this in her. But I've watched my parents again and again go after her.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the example. That is what we seek for and want, you know, and that is Jesus. That is Jesus. And so as we work to do that as parents, you know, allowing space for the mistake to happen, and also recognizing my parents aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. None of us are. We're making mistakes too. We need this every bit as much as our youth, and giving ourselves, trusting ourselves and trusting God ourselves with a chance to get better and be better and do better today is really why this is a talk for everybody. You know, we need it desperately, and we need to trust that whole process and continue to just go after the ones we love. That's our job, is to love, just as Carlin said. So good.
Yeah, and I love that at the end of the talk, he says, my dear friends, let me repeat, if the Savior was standing here today, he would express his endless love for you, his complete confidence in you. He would tell you, you can do this. And I just love the thought of, like, of anything an apostle would tell us, the Savior would say to us right now. I love that he's like, he would want you to know he loves you.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing I can give you right now. And I love the reminder of that, of this high expectation, right? They didn't hold back on doctrine. There is high expectation here, but I love that it's mixed with high love and also high trust in that ask, you know, in that invitation to engage here.
So good.
Well, Emily, can you hear me?
Yeah. No, move to that other room again. Let's see if you'll come back. It's circling still. And we want to hear you. I one of the things that I did love too is as you go through and talk about some of these topics that are the topics that we talk about, someone's asking about modesty and all of those things. As I was reading through it again, I was so interested that there's, in the old one, there was one line. The answer was one line. You just, here's the answer. Here's the answer. It was, you know, whatever. It was a checklist. It was a to-do. And I love that if you want to know about modesty, you've actually got to read that whole section now. And you have to understand what is the why behind it. It's going to take getting out your scriptures. It's going to take really thinking about, you know, that's a longer conversation now than it used to be. And I actually appreciate that it is a longer conversation, that it requires 4 pages to understand what is happening there, not just one line that makes the decision for you. And I love that we're engaging in relationship rather than going off of a piece of paper. Carlin, what were you going to say? I can hear you now.
Okay. I was just going to say, because we were talking about love, the final part of what he talks about in the talk. And I love that it wasn't like, God loves all those that are doing right. It was God loves all. And so I've been reading these comments and some people are saying, yeah, but what if they make a mistake and never come back? Well, we can't say never because these are Heavenly Father's children. Heavenly Father's not going to just leave them stranded out to, you know, perish. He's going to do all that he can. And maybe they need 10, 20 years to figure out what the atonement really is. And so he loves all. And we then have to trust that, that they are his children and he loves them and he will take care of them. So
yeah. And we have to trust him.
Right.
I was sitting at a event a couple weeks ago, and I think I might've said this, but I'm going to say it again because it was so good. I was with Anthony Sweat and someone asked that question, like, what if it's been 20 years? And he said, let's like broaden our eternal perspective. In 10,000 years, do you think God could resolve that problem? and it just made you like stop and be like, well, yeah, in 10,000 years, I think he probably could. And Anthony was like, I'm okay with the 10,000 year plan. And I thought to myself, okay, I need to actually step back into a 10,000 year plan. Like Anthony was like, we have eternity. We have eternity.
Yes.
And I loved the thought of, that's okay. We do get frantic. That is part of mortality. We see where we are right now and it feels heavy and it makes us not sleep at night and your heart can race. I've had moments at the grocery store where I am so caught up on that frantic situation that I've walked out with my groceries without even paying before and had to go back in and be like, ah, I forgot to even check out because my brain was so frantically trying to solve that situation. And we carry that, right? We love our kids.
Yeah.
We want the fix that comes tomorrow. Sometimes I think this, we want the 24-hour flu. That's what we want. We want the thing that will be over in 24 hours. And what if that isn't the story you're living out right now? What if it's not a 24-hour story? And what if you're entering in every day to things that actually pinprick, you know, that you're having conversations that hurt.
Yeah.
And you're navigating spiritual journeys that actually do make you feel fear and frightened for what is being given up or what's happening there. And I think all of us are doing that, right? All of us are navigating that space. And I just love that permission that Anthony gave that our God is an eternal God. He's working with eternity.
Yeah.
Right now.
And Emily, I just have to say this. So I'm serving as Relief Society president right now, and it was all the Relief Society presidents in our stake. And I was so touched by something our stake president said. He said there was one thing he could have said. I mean, and he chose this to say. He says, what I have found in this life is that, and in this calling, is that there's more time than we think. And there is such grace in that. Like, I don't know why that one thought right there helps me so much. It's that eternal perspective. And it's like you said, it's a broader view of God's timing that allows space for all the mistakes to happen, for all things to figure out. There's more time to think. And there's something that just grabbing a hold of that as a parent feels really empowering.
That's so good. And I think, and maybe I'll just, we'll end with this, but that thought, and a lot of people are asking about my mom. And this is one thing that I'm learning right now this month. I feel like this is something God is trying to teach me between what is going on with Garrett and his injury. And also my mom is that sometimes healing comes slow. I feel that right now. Sometimes healing comes slow. And that's hard and it's frustrating and it makes you grumpy sometimes. And there's a lot of tears and, you know, we want to speed up that process. But here's the thing. When I look at Garrett and my mom every day, I see they're getting better. I see that they are improving and it's small steps, both of them. It is small steps. This is not a 24-hour fix for either of them. But there's hope in the end. I see that there is going to be hope in the end. And I can't actually make this process go faster. I can't. There is nothing I can do to make either of their processes go faster. And so then I just have to hope that the healing will come. And we have to live in this period of slow healing. And we're all probably in that. We're all probably in this period of slow healing. And sometimes it's spiritual, sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's physical. But the beauty is we know the healer. We know him. And he knows what to do. And so then I wonder if it's the same for us. I want to turn the tables on us. That do we have high hope, high love, high expectation, and high trust in him? And do we believe that those things will come to fruition? And what I am learning is that I do trust him. I do have high expectation in him, and I do love him. And so I'm going to allow him to do this work in our life, even if it's painful, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's not what I would have chosen. But I trust him, and I expect that it will all work out in the end, because he said it would all work out in the end. And I love him for that. I think for those who are asking, all good things, they think my mom will be able to recover. If not fully, at least 95%, which is amazing. Garrett is on the mend from a football injury that he will be back from next year. So that it's slow healing, but it's healing nonetheless. And I think that's good. And I just think there's so many good things here, a lot to think about here today. So, and this conversation was so good. Thank you for being here, both Katie and Carlin, and having this conversation. It's such a good conversation, and a lot more to dive into and think about. So love you guys.
Thank
See you,
you.
Next
Thank
Thursday
you.
Again.
Bye.
Thanks for joining me. This podcast is taken from our Thursday Inklings discussions, which happen live on Instagram at inklings.institute. If you loved being here, I'd love to invite you to go even deeper with me, get reminders, and enjoy first access to all our events and gatherings by going to emilybellfreeman.com/inklings.